This morning we continue our series in the signs of John, and this morning we're looking at Jesus walking on the water. And you'll recall that I have challenged us to look at each of these signs. There's seven of them in the Gospel of John. And each Sunday, not just ask yourself what the miracle is, but what's the message behind the miracle as God speaks to us. And I've challenged ourselves to ask ourselves four questions. What does this tell me about people? What does this tell me about Jesus? What is the message to me? And who else needs to hear this story? So I invite you to reflect on that this morning. And Jesus has just multiplied the loaves and fishes to feed the crowd of 5,000, and we pick up the story there. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because of a strong wind that was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at the sign of Jesus walking on the water. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about these parents that had two young boys. They were always getting into trouble, and they tried everything to sort of get them out of that habit of getting into trouble. And finally, the last hope was to send the boys one by one to see the pastor. And so they separated them and sent the first boy in to see the pastor in his office. And the pastor had the boys sit down, and the pastor sat behind his desk, and he wanted to make an impression on the boys. So he said, "Where is God?" Well, the boy didn't know what to do. There was silence, so the pastor looked at the boy again and said, "Where is God?" The boy just sat there in silence, so the pastor said the third time, "Where is God?" And with that, the boy took off running, ran all the way home, saw his other brother there, and said, "God is missing, and they think that we've done it." But it does bring to mind that there are seasons in our life when we want to ask, where is God? It seems like God is missing. And the disciples were square in the middle of that kind of a chapter this morning. And so it reminds us that there are some storms in life, are there not? And some of those storms are serious. I don't know if you've been following this news story that's unfolding right now as we speak. This cruise ship off the coast of Norway lost its power in the middle of a storm and has encountered 26-foot waves and 40-plus mile-an-hour winds. And they are evacuating the people because the ship can't control itself. And I saw some of the Twitter feed that's on from some of the passengers, and the furniture is sliding across the deck, and they have to evacuate them by helicopter because the waves are too big for the rescue boats. And so even right now they're unfolding, and that's on a cruise ship. So you can imagine what the disciples were facing in this story this morning. I'm reminded of a story about Tony Bullimore, who was a 56-year-old yachtsman from Britain. And he was competing in this around-the-world sailing race. He was 2 months into the race on his 60-foot sailboat entitled Exide Challenger, and he encountered an incredible storm in the South Sea. He was more than 1,000 miles from land. He encountered 50-foot waves. You can imagine that. Now, that's taller than the top of the ceiling. The waves were so powerful, they tore the keel off the boat, and so the boat capsized, flipped upside down, and he was trapped inside the boat for 4 days. And he said it was like falling off Niagara Falls in an upside-down boat. The only air they had to breathe was between the water and the upside-down boat and the keel of the boat, and so he struggled there, and of course, he prayed. He prayed and he prayed. Meanwhile, the signal went off for a rescue. The Australian Air Force and Navy tracked it by satellite, and 4 days later they arrived to rescue him. And he recalls when he heard the knocking on the keel of the boat, and the rescue divers came to get him, what it felt like. And he said, "Thank God, it's a miracle. I felt like I was born again." An amazing rescue. Well, storms are real in our own lives, are they not? I mean, sometimes they are the storms of facing an illness. Sometimes it's a storm of facing financial crisis. Sometimes it's a relationship storm. Sometimes we may even lose our loved ones, and the storms are real in our life. And that's the first spiritual lesson that I learned from this story, that the storms of life are real. So disciples are in a real storm this morning. Jesus has just fed the multitude by dividing the loaves and the fishes. And it reminds us sometimes that God strengthens us sometimes with a lesser trial, like facing a hungry crowd and then facing a difficult storm. In our own life, sometimes God builds us from the smaller trials to prepare us for the bigger storms of life down the road. But disciples have set off across the sea. Jesus, meanwhile, has found a place on the mountaintop, no doubt is praying. And so disciples are out in the storm. And you also remember that on the Sea of Galilee, and this is at night even, that they were in a boat about 28 to 30 feet long. We know what these boats were like. They're about 8 to 10 feet wide. They had one or two sails. Of course, you had to pull down the sails in a storm because that makes just makes things worse. And then they were rowing. So these storms can blow out of nowhere, and on the Sea of Galilee, they can have waves 20 feet or more. And so they're pulling against the storm. We're told that they rowed for 3 or 4 miles. Now, of course, they didn't have motors back then, had to drop the sails in a storm. And so they had to row, and the only way to keep the bow into the waves, which is the way you need to go with a boat, or if it goes sideways, then it can capsize, just like that cruise liner that's out there right now. The waves will pull it sideways and create all kinds of difficulties. And so they're rowing 3 or 4 miles. Now, you and I, if we row 3 or 4 miles, I'm here to tell you that it's not easy. But if you row 3 or 4 miles in a storm against wind and waves, that is very, very difficult. So these disciples are probably at wit's end. They're in a small boat. They're facing wind and waves, and they're no doubt frightened, as it says. And so we know the storms of life are real. Next thing that I learned, the next spiritual lesson I learned here is that Jesus knows our struggles. And it's interesting because at least during part of this storm, Jesus was on the mountaintop alone and no doubt praying. And it reminds me that Jesus was probably not only praying for himself, but also for the disciples. And it reminds me of the spiritual truth that when we're facing the storms, that Jesus even now is interceding for us before the Father. He's praying for us and lifting us up in prayer. And then the disciples are struggling against this storm, and Jesus comes walking to them on the water. Now, we're told that at first, this seems very realistic to me, when they saw Jesus, they were even more frightened because they didn't recognize Jesus off in the distance, and they thought maybe this was a ghost. Things were going from bad to worse. But then all of a sudden, Jesus speaks out and says, "It is I, do not be afraid." And so Jesus knows the struggles that we're going through, and then Jesus calms the storm is the next spiritual truth that I learned. And as Jesus walks into the boat and steps in, he says, "It is I, do not be afraid." And I think that Jesus first calmed the inner storm of their lives by those words, "It is I, do not be afraid," before he calmed the seas around them. And I think it's the same truth for our lives today. As we face the spiritual truth, sometimes we need to hear Jesus whisper, either through his word or through prayer, that "It is I, do not be afraid." And it reminds the truth that there's a great song out that says, sometimes Jesus calms the storm, and sometimes he calms his child. Sometimes in the midst of the storm, Jesus just wraps his arms around us. And even though the storm sort of batters us around it, we know that we're safe and secure in the arms of the Almighty. And so Jesus says, "It is I, do not be afraid." And he stepped into the boat, and we're told that the storm was calm. And it reminds me in life, too, that we need to invite Jesus into the boat of our lives. Sometimes we want to keep Jesus out, but in the storms of life, we're reminded that we need to invite Jesus into the boat of our life. And when we do that, then amazing things can happen. The storm of our heart and lives can become stilled, and the storm that is around us can also be stilled. And then finally, we're told that all of a sudden, when Jesus stepped into the boat, not only did the storm become calm, but they all of a sudden found themselves where they were going. And that's amazing. And I like that truth because I think that's the final truth here in this story for us this morning. which is that when we invite Jesus into the boat of our life, that Jesus will get us where we're going. Amen? And sometimes we don't know where that is, but Jesus will get us there. And so for them, it was the other side of the Sea of Galilee. For us, it may be the other side of an illness. For us, it may be seeing us through a relationship difficulty or a financial crisis, whatever it is. I'm reminded of this truth, too, which is that at the end of our lives, all of us will face some kind of a storm in life, whatever that is. But if we open our eyes and look up, we can see that Jesus comes to us walking in that storm. That Jesus will step into the boat of our life and take us by the hand. Jesus can speak those words to us and say, "Do not be afraid, it is I." And we can feel the peace of Christ in a powerful way. And Jesus will get us to our ultimate home. Jesus will get us where we need to be. And the storms will be stilled, and he'll walk us through the valley of the shadow, and we'll find ourselves in God's home. And that will be the final storm of life. So whatever you're facing today, know that God sees us in the storms. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul in that great letter to the Philippians that Luann read earlier. And Paul was facing his own storm. He was in prison, and he was there unjustly for preaching the gospel. He was writing to a church that was a small country church sort of on a big highway, but it was facing persecution and adversity and difficulty. And Paul writes him a great book, and he writes as, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." And Paul says, "Whatever your needs are, then put them before the Lord and give thanks. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ." Whatever that storm is around you, the peace of Christ will guard your hearts and minds. Jesus was real about the storms of life in chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus talking to disciples before they face the storm of Jesus being taken from them and nailed to the cross and Jesus being put into the tomb and that ultimate time between when Jesus was crucified and when he was resurrected. And Jesus looks at the disciples and says, he says, "In this world you will have trouble. But do not be afraid, I have overcome the world." And in our own lives, I believe that truth is still with us today. That whatever we're facing, there's a reality of some storms around us, be they financial difficulties and maybe the relationship storms or storm of an illness or even the loss of a loved one. But if we look up in a storm, we can look out and we can see Jesus walking towards us. And if we invite Jesus into the boat, that Jesus can speak those words to us and say, "Do not be afraid, it is I." And we can feel the peace of Christ in a powerful way, in a way that changes our hearts and lives and brings God's truth and peace home to us in a special way. Tony Bullimore knew what a storm was, and I don't know if he prayed much before that, but you can read the story of his time at sea. But as he prayed and waited in those stormy waters in an upside-down boat with oxygen running out, the Navy was already on its way to rescue him. And many times as you and I pray, God has already set in motion the things that can change our life and answer our prayer. But know this, in the storms of life, if we cry out to the Lord will be with us. He's praying for us even now. And he knows the struggles and the storms of our life, and he comes to us and he calms the storm. Sometimes he calms his child and sometimes he calms his storm, but there's always a storm that he calms, and he will get us from here to there. I challenge us to invite this truth into our hearts and lives. We invite Christ into our lives and know that he still calms the storms. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about this storm that the disciples faced that was so real and so difficult, they were rowing with all their strength, and then suddenly you appeared, and you spoke words of peace and grace to them. You stepped into the boat and everything was calm and they were where they were going. Lord, in the same way as we face the storms of life, we pray that you'd help us to catch a glimpse of you, of your love and grace, what you were willing to go through, the ultimate storm of the cross, and to bring peace to us. And so also we pray for peace in our lives of forgiveness and grace. We pray also for the peace in the storms that we face, whatever those storms may be. We pray that we'd hear your voice say to us, "Peace, be still. It is I. Do not be afraid." We thank you for your grace and your power that calms all the storms of life. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, Amen.